Welcome to the Emerging Minds Families Podcast.
Hi, I'm Nadia Rossi, and you're listening to an Emerging Minds Families Podcast. Before we start today's episode, we would like to pay respect to the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast is recorded, the Kaurna people of the Adelaide Plains. We also pay respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, their ancestors and elders past, present and emerging from the different First Nations across Australia. Thank you for joining us for this special holiday season episode of the Emerging Minds Families Podcast. In this episode, we are joined by Emerging Minds team members Alex, Alicia, Vicky, Kate, Jade and Dan as they share what the holidays mean to them and their families. We talk about their family rituals and traditions, their approach to managing holiday pressures and how they help their children appreciate the different ways people celebrate this time of year. We start our conversation with Kate, Alex, Jade and Alicia talking about the upcoming holiday season and what this time of year means to them and their families.
So this time of year is all about family for us. So we've got a lot of our family scattered all over the country. And it's that one time of year where everyone will make an effort to connect in some way. So either people will come home and spend the holiday season together, or everyone makes sure there's phone calls, voice messages, video calls, whatever. Like, we are always making sure we connect together, which is, I think, really special. So
I think one of the things that I value about this time of year is it is an opportunity to pause and think about things that we're grateful for, and to spend that time with your children to think about who has meant a lot to us, who has supported us through the year, people who are meaningful in our lives, and think of that in grateful ways, but also be able to do acts of gratitude to those around us. And that can take lots of different forms, but it's something that I really value. And I know my children can have fun and enjoyment and get quite a lot of gratitude back in doing those kind of activities.
It's a really special time of year for us to spend together as a family with our kids, but also with our broader family. It's just a time where we kind of come together and reconnect, because life is busy and there's a lot going on. And sometimes it's hard to carve out time as a family to spend time all together, especially as the kids are getting older and they've all got their different bits and pieces on during the year. So it's a really important time, I guess, to anchor in and be together.
Because of my husband's work, we've often spent time away from our family or friends. And there's also been years when he has spent time away and not been able to be with us during the holiday period. So for our small little family, it's really become about connecting with people that we care about. And yes, some years it's our biological family, but other years it isn't. And we've often had times where we've gathered together as sort of a group of people who can't go home to spend the holiday period together. And as the children have got older, it's something that they really enjoy, because we never quite know who might be coming our way to spend time with us. So it's a really fun part of this time of year.
I really like you talking about having that flexibility around the holiday season. We can get so bogged down in our routines and our rituals and the way things have to be, but having that openness to welcome whoever into your home or go somewhere else is such a great little, I think, reminder that it can change, and change is okay.
I agree. And we don't have to be stuck. And I think we talk a lot about routines and rituals at Emerging Minds, and sometimes it's okay to move away from those and just be spontaneous and what works for you at the time and at this time of year and what's going on in your lives.
I spoke with the group about some of the traditions or rituals their families enjoy during the holidays. Here they all share family traditions that they feel support connection and emotional well-being.
Well, our whole family actually are quite into different movies, often kind of older movies. And so one really lovely ritual is throughout the Christmas period is just to have some time to spend together, sitting on the couch, having some snacks, particularly if it's hot, and just watching some movies and then kind of talking about them and dissecting them, often criticising me for my choices, I have to say. But nonetheless, that provides something that we're all kind of feel into, and kind of a strange ritual in a sense, but it is something that connects us and provides us with something familiar to talk about. And I think it's really lovely for me, because this is something that I've been able to do with my children ever since they were really little. So, yeah, it feels like it's lots of rituals as your children grow older kind of go by the wayside, but this one feels like something that has stuck over the years, and that's really lovely. Even though they probably enjoy being home less and less.
Yeah.
And that connection, even though they're getting older and more independent, is still somewhat important to them, which is a nice feeling as a parent. Makes you feel wanted in some way.
Yeah. One that stands out to me as a tradition that we do every year is making gingerbread biscuits. And it's something that usually takes an afternoon to plan, to bake, to decorate, to eat all in one afternoon. And it really is a fun activity that the kids enjoy. And it's really about connection. And the other thing about that activity is over the years, it has looked a little bit different. So some years we've baked hundreds of cookies and we've given them away to friends and family. One year we made a gingerbread house, but other years it's just literally been a batch that we've been able to do and eat for ourselves. And I think it's about thinking about a tradition that can be flexible and change with your lifestyle and the materials and resources and time you have can really change every year. So for us, this activity really is a ritual and something we value, but it's something that can mold and change.
I loved thinking about this question, because there are two traditions that we never miss in our family. One is that we always go over to my mum or the kids' grandma's house and we stir a pudding. And there are only a few of us who actually like eating this pudding, but we always go there in actually July. And so it's a nice way to connect mid-year, because we go and stir this pudding and we all pop in at different times and spend time talking with her about things that she used to do with her family during this period, who many of them have now passed away. And so that's a really lovely tradition. Another tradition we have, which is always fun at this time of year, is we get together with a close group of our chosen family, and we actually have a big games night out on the lawn with all of the kids, and we play lawn games and we share a meal together, and anyone who's not too tired stays, and we watch some ridiculous movie that the kids have chosen. But it's something that we have done for the last 10 years, and my children are older now. They are heading towards their 20s. And we still, everybody looks forward to it. They wouldn't miss it. They say no to parties to come and spend this time together. So it's a tradition that we started when they were quite young, and now no one wants to miss it. And we have a lot of fun and now have their partners coming along as well. And it's growing. It's getting bigger and bigger. And it's a really lovely thing that I certainly look forward to every year.
For my immediate family, like for my kids growing up, I think one of the rituals that we developed was quite unusual, but kind of developed because my son, when he was little, he was just about 9 months before his first Christmas, and he really did not like Santa. He did not, he didn't want to even look at Santa or a Santa statue in the shop. We lived out of town, so he was not used to all of it. And so we never did the Christmas Santa photos. And I was like, oh, he really is screaming, and I don't feel like that's nice to make him sit there and scream just for me. Then a few years later, when his sister came along, they were unpacking the Christmas tree at one stage and they got in the box. And so I took a photo by chance of them in the box of the Christmas tree. And so till this day, every year we take a photo of them in the Christmas tree box. We do not have Santa photos. And so I guess it started as supporting my son's well-being when he wasn't keen on this big, loud, red person, and nor should he need to be necessarily. But it became a fun way of recording Christmas in a way that was kind of quite quirky to our family.
So we celebrate what I'd call our own brand of Christmas, and that's kind of dictated by what feels enjoyable and meaning for us as a family, as opposed to particular traditions. But we do things like, for the kids, decorating a Christmas tree is really fun, but we make sure that we make that a really special time. So we will put music on and we'll have some snacks and make a time that we come together as a little family to do that activity together. And we also corral time that is for us just to do those kinds of activities, I suppose. Like Christmas Eve, we know that we've got, it's a really busy time of year and there's a lot of different social events on. So we'll make sure that we save Christmas Eve for just our little family with the kids and my husband. And we'll do things like make gingerbread people and decorate them in really silly outfits and eat and have a laugh together.
We're probably not spiritual in the sense of going to church or anything like that around holiday time, but family is what's sacred for us. So that's kind of our time to make sure that we have that time to connect with each other and be with each other. And that's kind of our time together. That's really, really important to set aside.
Food. Our family's love language is food.
Yeah.
So for us, it's not just about, obviously, I think when people think about connecting over food, they talk about sitting around a dinner table. And while we do that and we have a lot of conversation, in my family, you have to be actively involved in two conversations while listening to a third. And that can be really overwhelming for new people coming into the family. And we try and be really aware of that, like partners and friends and things like that that get invited. But a big part of it for me, especially, is when we're preparing food, having side-by-side conversations and just getting into a task and doing it together. And you don't realize that you might be sitting there washing and drying dishes, which I think is no one's favorite thing to do. But because I'm sitting there doing it with my cousin or with my daughter or with my mum, that we are making sure we're chatting and connecting. And it's not forced and it's easy and it's not intimidating. So it's just this really nice way of being present with each other without making it feel like work.
And I love that you mentioned new people coming into the family, because I think that's really, I come from a very big, loud family as well. And so it's really nice and important, I think, to acknowledge those new people coming in and what that can feel like to someone coming into a new environment, to a family that has shorthand, that has, you know, that knows what's going on and is having all those conversations. And so taking time to acknowledge that there might be a new person at your table this year and how can we welcome them?
And yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting because I think it was last Christmas, I would just sat there watching my daughter with her grandfather and they were just sitting there peeling eggs. This is one of the grandparents she doesn't see quite as much as the others. And it was just really lovely to watch, first of all, like the teaching of how to do this task, but then also that beautiful connection that they've got together and watching them just start standing closer and closer to each other. And it was just really beautiful to see that happening.
While the holiday season can bring many opportunities for celebration, it can also be accompanied by significant pressures. Jade, Dan, Alex, and Kate share their approaches to managing these challenges.
It's a really, really hectic time of year. And I think it's sort of when all the parts of your year converge together as one. So it can be feeling like I'm trying to juggle end of school year and awards and concerts and the end of sporting seasons and work, as well as all of these social events. Everyone just decide the end of the year is a great time to catch up before we move into the new year. And it can be really easy for those things to get away from us. And even going into leave, I think we can go in with this anticipation of getting a good break in, but before you know it, you get to the other end and you've really just spent the whole time going to things and doing activities that have been fun, but they can really be taxing. So I guess I'm really mindful to not squeeze too many engagements into one day, for not only for my kids' well-being, but for my own well-being and my husband's as well. We're not the best parents if we've been to four different engagements in one day. And that'll look like me actually writing in our calendar, blocking out either a portion of the day, or often if we've had an engagement on one day, I'll make sure the next day is a day at home. And that's a day just for us to, again, just be home and do what we need in the morning, sleep in, be in our pajamas all day if we need to, or wake up and decide to go down for a coffee or something in the morning. It's making sure we've carved out time for ourselves and rest, as well as fun and play. I call it protecting time because it quite literally is protecting time. Like if I don't protect it, it will get taken up somewhere. So I have to make sure that I protect rest and time for us just to be and do all the time.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of expectation around Christmas, isn't there? There is often at the end of a hard year, all families want to do is just kind of relax. But there's presents, extended families, places to be. And so that can also mean that all of us are a bit tired and kind of over it. I think sometimes just kind of understanding that as a parent is really important, knowing that maybe we're all in this together. Maybe we're all kind of going off to a family event that we might prefer to kind of skip. And rather than getting a little bit more frustrated with each other, just allowing that time and space that's really needed, and that understanding that we're all probably had a long year, really.
Yeah.
Which is really important, isn't it? Yeah. Also, as your kids get older, you can often find yourself having expectations of them, which you've had on yourself all the time, to kind of see particular relatives or to go to particular events. And that can be really quite problematic because when you go take a step back, you're making decisions for them, which never goes particularly well when your children get a bit older. So those expectations or those pressures or even that emotional intensity which they might be feeling about some of these, it's really important just to take stock of that a little bit as well.
That's a really good question because it can sometimes feel really challenging, and I feel like just life as a parent in general, but certainly up to the holiday period, can feel a little bit like a epic freight train that doesn't stop at the stations and just sort of keeps going. But I think I often try to make that conscious effort to slow down, take some time out. It's sometimes not necessarily right at the celebration time. It's usually that little period afterwards where, yeah, just slow down, remind myself that it's about those little moments of connection with their children. And sometimes it's just that hour of watching a movie together or something like that after when everything's died down that's really enjoyable. And I think sometimes they're the things I remember more than all the other bigger parts of the celebration.
I think the thing that's really important for me is I talk a lot. I'm an oversharer. I will try and reach out and connect with people. The holiday season, the grief that I have for my grandmother is at its strongest, usually around the holidays. It was a really big deal for her, and she and I would do a lot together during the holidays. So my family are amazing and they are all really aware of that, and they'll always check in and just see how we're going and make sure that Nan's favourite decorations were pride of place in the house or whatever, which is really nice. And the other thing that I tend to do, especially with my daughter, is that if I am feeling under pressure or a bit flat, a bit low, is that I try to make sure I talk to her about that in an age-appropriate way. So she's 9, but she is so aware of my feelings and my body language and how I am that if I don't talk to her about it, she starts to feel a bit stonewalled, a bit left out, and I don't want to do that to her. So I will be open with her and say, look, you know what, I'm having a struggle day today, bub, and I'm trying to get through it as best as I can. I love that you're trying to help me through it. It's not your responsibility to help me through it, but let's try and break this cycle together. And she's really responsive to that. And then I think by me doing that, when she's having a similar feeling or a similar day, it shows her that she can come to me and say, hey, mum, I don't know why I'm feeling this way, but I'm feeling this way and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to manage it. And then we can kind of talk through that together, which I think is really powerful.
I really also wanted to acknowledge what you brought up earlier, which is about grief and people who are no longer with us and how grief plays a really big role in the holiday season and those anniversaries and what it can feel like leading up to those special times of year when that person is no longer there. And I think it's really important that we acknowledge that, that that can also add to the pressures of the season because it's this other layer as well. So it's really great, I think, to acknowledge that and also, like you said, be open about it and be purposeful in how you celebrate them and acknowledge that they were part of the family too and in your own special ways.
When I asked, how do you help your children understand and appreciate the diversity of how people celebrate or don't celebrate these holidays, Alicia, Kate and Jade had this to share.
We've been really lucky because we've had the opportunity to live and work amongst different cultures, and all of them have celebrated in different ways. And so the children have really seen people celebrate this time differently and different to how we do it in our home. And it's brought a real curiosity in them, I think, to now ask and be interested in how their friends spend this time of year. And I feel really grateful that they are genuinely interested and excited to learn how others experience this time of year and also to become involved in how their friends celebrate or don't celebrate. It's a wonderful part of living in a multicultural society. And I think it's something really wonderful about the younger generations that they are genuinely curious and it's actually not a big deal that people celebrate in different ways and do things differently in their house. And actually, they just want to go and try that way and see what it's like.
We're really fortunate that my daughter goes to a really multicultural school, and I didn't realise until probably the last couple of years that she's been coming home and talking about not just Christmas being part of the holiday season, but about Hanukkah and about Ramadan and about all these other different celebrations, which I think is amazing. Like, I'm absolute credit to the school for sparking these conversations. And then she's teaching me what she's learned. And then if we're not sure about something, we're Googling it, or we're speaking to people that we know in our circles that may celebrate differently, or like differently to us anyway, or have different beliefs, I guess. But for us as a family, we've not really had like the religious education as such, but we're always really interested to hear about what other people are doing and what other people's beliefs are. So I really encourage my daughter, especially, to try really hard to expose her to everything I can and show her there's more than just one way of belief or one way of thinking or one way of doing X, Y, and Z. This might be how we do it, but we could take a piece from this and a piece from that and create something new that's just for us. And I guess about for her just being understanding and respectful of people that maybe don't celebrate Christmas. She's got a couple of kids in her class that don't celebrate Christmas at all, and she's coming at it from a place of curiosity, which I love. I think that's so special. And coming and talking to me about it, like, Mum, did you know that so-and-so doesn't celebrate Christmas? It's like, oh my gosh, wow, I wonder why. Like, I wonder what they do instead. That would be really interesting to know. And then maybe a couple of days later, she'll come back to me and say, oh my gosh, Mum, I spoke to this kid about it and this is what they said they do. And it sounds really fun and interesting. And so that's really cool as well. And we've got a really diverse friendship group where my daughter's an only child. So she's really confident just speaking with other adults, which I'm absolutely amazed at sometimes. And so I do encourage her to say, you know, like I'll say to her, go ask Auntie Trish about what she wants to do, or go ask cool so-and-so, or to get a better understanding from someone who's close and trusted and who we can ask potentially silly questions to, with knowing we're not going to offend anyone. So that's really nice as well to have that opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's part of a bigger conversation for us and an ongoing conversation for us about diversity as a family, and which ultimately really comes down to valuing people for who they are and being open to learn about other ways of being and doing in life, so that we're not really using our own experiences as the yardstick by which we judge people. So it's kind of like just being open and curious. So that might look like, as a family, we might discuss differences that we notice really openly, whether it's just in a movie, for example, or on a poster, or just something that comes up. And we try and make that little family space a space where the kids feel safe to ask those questions. And we might encourage sort of being curious and obviously kind as well in the way that we think about differences. We also try to let our kids see us practicing that in conversation with friends and with other people, and obviously making an effort to repair if we make mistakes, which often comes up. And I think the other thing that's really important is encouraging our kids to share their own thoughts and ideas about what they want. So as a mum, not assuming that I know what my kids find meaningful at this time of year, or what they would like to be involved in, and what their thoughts are on things as well, that I'm kind of modelling that curiosity as well.
Next, we discussed how to navigate difficulties that can arise during this season. Kate, Vicky, Jade, Dan and Alex offered the following insights for parents.
It's about acknowledging that we're all human and we all struggle with different things. And sometimes for me as well, I find it sometimes can surprise me what might be a trigger or what might be a bit of a slippery slope and warning sign of me going a bit downhill this time of year. And I also notice in my child how she changes around me when I am entering that stress phase. Like, she'll be telling me a lot more than usual. Love you, Mom. You're okay, Mom. Like, and it's like, oh, okay, hang on. I've got to check myself now, because she's showing me her stress signals to me. And I think the most important thing is just to talk to your kids and keep your kids involved. Our kids will always pick up a lot more than we give them credit for, I think. And keeping them in the loop, it really builds and holds that trust between you and your child, or between you and your family, in that, oh, I know I can talk to her about this, obviously in an age appropriate way, and to keep it to the point, I guess, but just to help put them at ease that sometimes, with all this joy and happiness we're supposed to feel during the holiday season, not everyone does, and that's okay. And how we can support each other through those tricky times, and what are our expectations of each other during these tricky times.
I think I would say, be as kind and compassionate to yourself as possible. And I know that sounds glossy, but I think that being slow when you need to be slow, taking some moments. I think that I am very conscious often that financially, and when I was working with families, I was very conscious that financially, this is a really stressful and harrowing time for families, if you know they're experiencing financial stress. And when I worked at, I used to work at a youth refuge, and so I worked often on Christmas Day. And so I worked with children who weren't with their family on Christmas Day. And I think that was always a great reminder for the privilege I have of being able to be with my family, but also the importance of still finding some moments of support and connection with others, even if it's not with your family. And yeah, making that a kind and compassionate time as possible.
I'm really hesitant to tell anyone what to do when they're experiencing tough times. So I'm going to step away from telling you what to do. And I guess instead, I think my message would be that I really wish you kindness towards yourself as a parent. And that might be in little moments like brushing your teeth every morning or going outside and walking in the grass or just listening to some music that reminds you of fun and goodness. And I think the other thing is that I would wish you silliness and play with your kids. And that doesn't need to be big events and big things, but just little silly fun things like I spy or bushwalks or picnics in the backyard or just doing things that remind you of being a kid, just being able to enjoy life with your children. So I guess I would wish kindness to yourself and I would wish them silliness and play.
Yeah, it's a really big question, isn't it? I think this kind of sense of pressure that we have to measure up at Christmas, that there's a particular type of Christmas that children and families should be having, can be really difficult. Certainly, you know, like I felt that in the past, being a single parent, thinking about all of the things that the children might be missing out on or the pressures of going in between houses. It's just, there are so many different types and forms of families these days, isn't it? And I think we have so much time doubting that our type or form of family is doing what we need to for, or measuring up or being as good as other families, and really try to not do that and just kind of be present for my children. Because I think if you can do that, then that's kind of really leads to the kind of best times and best experiences that you can possibly have. And that doesn't include big presents or expensive gifts. Yeah, really just includes being present and available. And as they get older, just that connection's available for them. They might not choose to take that up on every occasion, but it's available for them. And those Christmas rituals are there for them when and how they want to experience those as they get older and create their own rituals.
My message would be to parents to remember that being present, showing love and effort is what really matters, rather than perfection and doing all the trimmings, that it's about giving ourselves permission as parents to keep things simple when they need to be, or when we're not able to do the other things that we'd like to do, that plans can change and that's okay. And we might discover something new and different that we didn't know before by making a change to plans or keeping things simple. And at the end of the day, just keeping in mind that children really are only going to remember that they were loved and seen and cared for and feel safe. And I think that can be done in so many different ways and doesn't have to be done in the way that maybe others expect, but that it can be done in your own way, and that's fine.
Oh, I think as a parent, I really needed to hear that. Thank you.
It's really nice.
And for our final question, I invited the group to reflect on what they hope their children will remember about the holiday seasons shared together.
I hope that they remember that they are loved and appreciated, and that they feel really seen, and all the little acts that you do, the small little moments, that they remember that feeling and that they're able to play it forward. I think that's what I hope that they remember.
I hope that they remember how much they are loved by their family, and not just me and her father and Nan, but like cousins and aunties and uncles and friends that we've chosen to be our family, and that how much you can bring people together who, it doesn't have to be just your direct relative or anything like that. You can choose your family.
I think I would hope that they remember laughter. I think that that's always been a part of our life, even in the darkest of times. Laughter has always been a part of our connection. I would hope they remember the joy of simple things like walking around the streets together and looking at Christmas lights, or the joy of joining with our family and, again, often playing games, having water fights. It's doing a present swap, which we've been doing. We have to buy it from the op shop now that everybody's older. And so we consciously try to reduce and reuse, not be consumers about our presents now. So I would hope that they remember that, yeah, there's not a one-size-fits-all form of Christmas.
I think more than anything, I hope my kids remember feeling how much they mattered and that they still matter to their family, to us as parents, but also to their grandparents and their aunties and uncles and cousins, that they don't just belong or have a place that they belong, but they actually have a strong sense of being valued for who they are, and that they are able to carry that, I think, throughout their life, this sense of like feeling in your bones, do you know what? I matter and I've got people and place where I belong and I'm anchored into. And that's something, I guess, that they can carry throughout their life, not just at the holidays.
Yeah, so just that you think back to your own childhood as some Christmases and those special memories, all those special connections you had, either with parents or extended family or friends. And so, yeah, I would really hope, like every parent does, that, you know, my children are able to look back on past Christmases really fondly, really because of those connections and those experiences.
That they were fun times with us, no matter what we were doing, that they had fun and that they were good times. And, you know, we have had some times where tricky stuff's been going on, but I think out of all of that, they remember the small moments that we did sit down and watch a holiday movie together, or they went to their grandma's house and stirred the pudding, or we just played a board game. I hope that they look back and remember those times that we spent together.
Do you know, everyone has said that.
Isn't that beautiful?
Isn't it? It's such a common thread that everyone wants their children to remember the connection and that they're loved and that they're a part of the family and that we can do small things together. It's not that I hope they remember we bought them the thing or we went on this massive trip. And while those things are great, it's that common thread of going, I hope they take the feeling of connection through. So
doesn't that sum up what most of us want as parents?
Absolutely.
We just want our kids to feel that we cared for them and they could feel safe and happy.
That brings us to the end of this special episode of the Emerging Minds Families podcast. We hope you enjoyed hearing from us and found some helpful tips to support you and your family through the holiday season. Thank you for joining us for this episode and throughout the year. From the team here at Emerging Minds Families, we wish you all a safe and happy holiday season. If you would like to keep up to date with our latest conversations, we'd love it if you like and subscribed to our Emerging Minds Families podcast channel. You can also find us on Instagram at Emerging Minds AU or on Facebook at Emerging Minds Families.
Visit our website at www.emergingminds.com.au/families for a wide range of free information and resources to help support child and family mental health. Emerging Minds leads the National Workforce Centre for Child Mental Health. The centre is funded by the Australian Government Department of Health under the National Support for Child and Youth Mental Health Programme.